Hello, friends, and welcome again to Prophecy Odyssey. And we come into you live from New York City. I'd like to welcome those who are once again joining us across the United States, North America, South America, and around the world. Thank you for tuning in. We'd also like to welcome those who are here in person, here in Manhattan at the Manhattan Center. Thank you for being here this evening. We've got a very important study that Pastor Doug is going to lead us in this evening. One of the most important presentations, they're all important, but this one in particular is important for us to understand. Now, we want to greet those who have contacted us from different places around the world. We received an email from people who are watching in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. We want to greet you in Bolivia. Also on the island in the Caribbean, Anguilla. Those watching on the island of Anguilla, I didn't even know where the island was. I had to look it up on the map. But there are people that are watching our program from the island, so a warm welcome to you. Also, our friends to the north, Quebec, Canada, people are watching there. Also, down south, Gold Coast, Australia. I want to greet our friends down in Australia, in the Gold Coast. And then also people who have contacted us from all over the United States. Folks from Texas, from Iowa, Indiana, California, and many other states. So a very warm welcome to all of you. We'd like to hear where you are. So if you just go to the website, prophecyodyssey.com, click on the link that says Contact Us, and there's a place where you can tell us where you're watching. Give us your city name and your country, and we'll try to greet you on the air. So this is sort of a global Bible study. Very exciting. Now, of course, you know about the materials, each of the presentations. We've been going through a number of lessons together, and tonight we're on lesson number 7. So those of you who are here, hopefully you got your lesson and you'll be ready to go through that when we start our study. For our friends who are watching, if you go to the Prophecy Odyssey website, you'll be able to download tonight's lesson. If you missed any previous lessons, they're all archived right there at the Prophecy Odyssey website. So take advantage of that. Go ahead and fill in the answers and you can be a part of this global study together. We also have a free offer, one of the Amazing Facts magazines. This one in particular is an important one. It's called The Rest of Your Life, one of our more popular sharing magazines. And this is our free gift to you. All you need to do is text the word Sabbath 24 to the number 40544, and you'll receive a digital download of the magazine, or you can visit the Prophecy Odyssey website, or one more way, just scan the QR code. So wherever you are, you can get a digital copy of the magazine. You can read it, you can share it with somebody else. It's got a lot of important information, and it goes along with our presentation today, so we want to encourage you to take advantage of that magazine. Also want to remind you, those of you who are watching this live, we will have a special presentation tomorrow, that is Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. And those of you who are here, you already know about it. We're going to be meeting here at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, so that's a little different than our evening meetings. We hope you'll come. Very important prophetic subject that Pastor Doug will be teaching on tomorrow. So 11 o'clock, that's Eastern Standard Time. You'll have to work out what time it is in your local time zone. Well, we have a theme song that we like to sing, so I'd like to invite our song leaders to come. And you know how it goes. Let's stand. We're going to sing together. The words will be on the screen. And friends, I hope you're also singing along at home.
God always thinks about us for good and hope and peace, to bring us to a future home where time will never cease. He wants for us to know Him, to call upon His name. He gave His one and only Son to cleanse our guilt and shame. His ears are ever waiting, listening for our plea, His Spirit to renew our lives and truth to set us free. His kingdom and His righteousness must be our only goal, to seek for God with all our hearts and search with all our soul. To seek for God with all our hearts and search with all our soul.
Amen. You guys are sounding better every night. Thank you for singing. We're going to have our opening prayer, and Pastor Siciliano is going to be leading us in prayer. Let's bow our heads.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you tonight with gratitude in our hearts that we are alive another day and that we have the opportunity to be in this place for this special event. Lord, we're thankful that you have revealed yourself as a God of love and goodness who desires order and flourishing throughout the world. Lord, tonight we've come here to learn about the Bible, simply, but also to be touched, to be moved and motivated. To that end, Lord, I'm asking in behalf of all of us here that you would send your Holy Spirit to speak to each one. Bless the presenter, Pastor Doug, and let us all go out of this place renewed, refreshed in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Please be seated. You know, we are so grateful for the wonderful music that is being provided by John Lomacane. And we got Marguerite, and we got Jackie on the piano. And they're going to be bringing us a special musical item at this time.
It's wider, it's stronger,
it's higher,
it's
amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Well, it's time to answer your Bible questions. And you know how this works. If you have a Bible question, all you need to do is scan the QR code. We're going to put that up on the screen. You'll see it here in the auditorium. Also, for those who are watching at home, we'd love to hear your Bible questions. Just scan that QR code. It'll take you to our site, and you can type in your Bible questions. We want to thank you for the many who have submitted their Bible questions. We've got well over 500 plus questions now that have come in. We're trying to collect them in different categories so we can cover as many topics as possible, but it's always nice to hear the questions that people have. So at this time, we're going to invite Pastor Doug and Karen to come out, and they'll be leading us in our Bible questions. Let's give them a warm welcome.
Amen. Thank you so much. Oh, music's been beautiful. I want to thank our team.
Amen.
Welcome, friends, to the Prophecy Odyssey. Mrs. Batchelor was just double-checking last night. She said, you've got 1,200 questions.
Over 1,200.
So we're going to get about 800 tonight.
Don't worry.
See how far we get.
We'll be here all night. You don't have any other plans, do you?
Want to welcome again those who are watching on 3ABN and Hope International and all of our affiliates. And thank you to our audience here in New York City for your faithfulness. We know this is the traffic is a zoo out there now with the UN General Assembly, and you're still here. Bless your hearts. God's going to bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.
Amen. Well, we're going to start with our first question. Are you ready? Mm. All right. We follow the example of Jesus' baptism by immersion, but not his example of being baptized at the age of 30. Why is that? Shouldn't we also wait and be baptized when we are 30?
Well, Jesus began his ministry at 30, and he was also anointed with the Holy Spirit. Let me just explain. And if you weren't here last night, our subject was on being born of the water and the Spirit. We talked about baptism, and Jesus was dedicated as a baby, but he went to John the Baptist to be baptized at 30. Why 30? Several reasons. It's not that Jesus wasn't saved before that. He did it as an example for us. The word Christ, I used to think that was Jesus' last name, like John Smith, Jesus Christ. The word Christ is actually a title. It means the anointed. If you say it in Hebrew, it's Messiah. He is Jesus, the anointed one. Christos, when you christen a ship, it's anointed. He was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down and anointed him in a special way. He began his life of ministry. You see no miracles of Jesus before the age of 30. He stayed at home in the carpenter shop. He lived as an example for us. Why 30? A priest could not begin to serve as a priest until he was 30 years of age. David did not begin to reign over united Israel till he was 30. Joseph began to rule over Egypt when he was 30. It was a significant time. But that's not the age of accountability. Jesus went to the temple when he was 12. Typically, children are old enough to understand the differences between good and evil, right and wrong, accepting Jesus, their own personal devotional life. Somewhere, girls maybe before boys, somewhere between the ages of, 9 and 14, I go to some European countries, they make them wait till they're 16. So the age of accountability may vary. Jesus did not wait until he was 30 because he had reached the age of accountability. He did it because that's when he started his ministry. Hopefully, if you're young, don't wait till you're 30.
If I was baptized as a child, should I be rebaptized as an adult?
Well, if you're meaning if you were baptized as a baby and you didn't know, obviously you should be baptized biblically repenting of your sins, accepting Jesus, being taught. We looked at the criteria of baptism last night. You should be baptized biblically as Christ was, understanding what the criteria are. Now, if you were baptized as a young person and you were sincere in your commitment, doesn't mean you need to be rebaptized. Some, like I said, unless you've completely left the Lord and gone out in the world and you come back again, you may want to be rebaptized. I suggest you talk to your pastor about these things also.
Or if you've learned new truths that you weren't baptized into before.
We talked about that last night in Acts chapter 19. These 12 Ephesian believers came into a whole new understanding of things they had not known, and they were rebaptized.
I've been told that once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are saved. Can a saved person be lost?
Right now we're about to split the congregation. Well, not necessarily here, but the one of the subjects that's divided the church for ages is this idea of predestination. Once saved, always saved. And I want to tell you, there are good people on both sides of this. The Bible is pretty clear. There are people who had the Holy Spirit, they followed the Lord, and they fell away. The Bible says, lest I preach to others and I become reprobate, or I turn away. Peter talks about those who were washed, but they return like the pig to wallowing in the mire, or the dog to returns to his vomit. Jesus said, any vine in me that does not bear fruit is cut off and burnt. There's plenty of scriptures that teach that you do not lose your freedom once you accept Jesus. We follow him by virtue of a free choice every day. I'll tell you what the tension is. People are worried, does that mean every time I make a mistake, I go from saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, and it's a roller coaster? No, you can have assurance of your salvation. But let me give you an example. Christianity, baptism, salvation, a love relationship, right?
Yes. Yes.
I made promises to Mrs. Batchelor when we got married, and I've always kept my promises.
Amen.
And we've had disagreements.
Yes.
But I've always been faithful.
He is.
Now, I am free to be unfaithful, and so is she. I never worry about her being unfaithful, and I trust she never worries about me.
No.
Because there's a love relationship.
Amen.
If you've surrendered your life to the Lord and you're following the Lord, you've made a covenant, he is going to finish what he started in your life.
Amen.
But it's a mistake to think once I'm saved, I can go live for the devil and now I can't be lost. Yes, you can. Revelation says, if you do not repent, he's speaking to the church, I will take your candlestick out of its place. If we do not want our names stricken from the book of life, the Bible's pretty clear that Christians that may have been believers that rebel, they can choose to walk away. God will not let go of you.
Amen.
But you can tug your hand out of his hand and just don't ever do it.
All right, this next question was kind of answered by what you were just talking about, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. The unpardonable sin is grieving the Holy Spirit. I keep sinning every day. Does that mean I am committing the unpardonable sin?
Well, not necessarily. Let's be honest here. It's confession time. How many of you have made a mistake, you asked God to forgive you, and then you did it again? Fess up. How many more than twice? I won't ask. I could keep going, but you get the point, right? God is long-suffering to us.
Amen.
Not well. You know, the Bible says, Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. Now, that doesn't mean you should presume on God's grace and say, well, God's forgiving me, so I'm just going to keep sinning. Mm-hmm. That's when you can start grieving away the Holy Spirit and commit the unpardonable sin. Mm. Do not presume on God's grace. And it's not that God will not forgive you. If you repent, he will forgive you. You can lose your capacity to repent. Mm. So I've got this friend I went to visit, do a Bible study. They lived right in the flight path of an international airport. And while I'm talking to him, planes were taking off and the house is shaking. And I said to him, how do you guys live with this? And they go, with what? I said, you know, like the jet flying over your house. Oh, we don't hear it anymore. Some people do not hear the Holy Spirit alarm clock convicting them anymore. And that's when you're grieving away the Holy Spirit. So whenever you know that you've done wrong, get on your knees, repent, confess, and ask God to give you victory. You don't want to keep making the same mistake. A righteous man may fall 7 times and get up again, but you don't want to just keep falling and get comfortable falling. You got a baby that just keeps stumbling, you expect it. But if they don't ever learn to walk, you got a problem, don't you? So he wants you to progress, to grow in grace. Mm-hmm. But don't get discouraged. Do you know how many times I quit smoking before I quit smoking? But praise God, I haven't had a cigarette in 40 years.
Amen.
Amen. So you can get the victory over those things.
And you just want to put, sometimes we set ourselves up to fail.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if we know that there's something we're struggling with, a specific sin, we can try and give ourselves some tools that we can use when they come into place, when we're tempted, to try and remind us that this is not the way we want to go.
The Bible says, flee from temptation. Some of us crawl away and hope it catches us.
And this is suicide the unpardonable sin?
Is suicide the unpardonable sin? Well, in most cases, there are exceptions. In most cases, when a person takes their life, they've lost faith and they've lost hope. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But there are exceptions. Samson basically committed suicide. He pushed down the pillars on top of himself. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that he is going to be saved because his life was something of a sacrifice. And there are some people who God knows they're going through incredible pain that we don't comprehend. They've lived for the Lord, they love the Lord, but because of some chemical imbalance, or overwhelmed with depression, physical suffering from cancer, then they take their lives. I think God will show mercy in cases like that. Just, we don't want to be the judge. Just know God is good. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're ever tempted to commit suicide because you think it's going to improve your circumstances, in most cases, when you commit suicide, you've taken away all your options. Okay. And you have permanently sealed a very bad situation. So don't ever look at suicide. By the way, murder is a sin. That would include self-murder.
So get help.
Get help. Yeah, don't get discouraged.
What does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain?
Well, it's more than just, you know, cursing. Some people think that if you're cursing and you include God's name in your curse, that certainly would be that. But when you take God's name, it means that you say, I am married to the Lord. Miss Karen got married, she became a bachelor. It's kind of funny when you think about it. But for her to say, I am Karen Bachelor, but then go out with someone else, she's taking my name in vain. If you say, I am a Christian, and you're spending all your time with the devil, you're taking the name of God in vain. So it's certainly blasphemy with your words. Don't ever take the name of God flippantly on your tongue. It is the name that is above every name, should be treated with holiness and reverence. Mm-hmm. Holy and reverend is thy name. But also don't take the name of God saying, I'm a Christian, and then decide to live and act like you're working for the devil.
This is our last question. Well, maybe not.
Okay, let's see.
How can I be more patient with my younger brother and our dog? This came from a 10-year-old little boy.
Ask mom and dad to have a little sister. The dog won't bother you so much. No, I don't know. Pray. We can pray for patience, right? But you know what happens when you pray for patience? He'll give you delay. If you say, Lord, I want muscles, you know what he gives you? A weight. Right? So you get the muscles. So just pray. God will give you patience. He will. He'll help you endure to the end.
All right. I don't know if we have a question that is answered.
Right.
Who are the two witnesses in Revelation 11?
The law and the prophets, sometimes symbolized by Moses and Elijah. It is not literally Moses and Elijah, because they have their eternal reward. They're not coming back down to earth and dying like the two witnesses in Revelation. But Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mark chapter 9, and they are a symbol for the law and the prophets, the word of God that witnessed to the Lord. Ask that question again. I'll give you a deeper answer.
All right. Well, we're so thankful for the many questions that have been submitted. If you would like to submit a question, you can scan our barcode that'll be up there on the screen, or you can go to the Prophecy Odyssey and find a place for questions. And we welcome them, and we thank you for them. Tonight, our music will be provided by Marguerite Samuel. She will be singing a solo, My Tribute, accompanied by Jackie Esposa.
For the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express to you all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to thee, to God be the glory, to God
Our lesson this evening is lesson number 7. It's entitled The Mystery of the Last Days. If there's anything at the end of time that the book of Revelation highlights, it's worship. At the end of time, there'll be two groups, those who worship God and keep his commandments, and those that worship the beast power that's spoken of in the book of Revelation. Tonight, we're going to begin with our study of worship.
Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to the Prophecy Odyssey program. We're so glad to see each of you here in New York City. And boy, there is so much going on right now in and around the city, and we are just inspired by your faithfulness in coming night after night for this very important prophecy series. And tonight's study, I think you're going to find to be a great blessing. I want to welcome also those, again, who are watching via 3ABN, Hope Channel, the other networks. And if you want to know more about how you can participate, we are just about halfway through this series, a little more than halfway to go. We're going to be getting into subjects like 666, Armageddon, Second Coming in more detail, and some of the last day events dealing with the beast and the Antichrist, and you don't want to miss anything. If you're going to miss a lesson, you should have missed the other ones. Don't miss anything from here on, because as they say, the best is yet to come. Tonight we're in lesson number 7, the mystery of the last day, and for each presentation there is a study guide. You get them free here in New York City just for coming. Those of you watching online, just go to the Prophecy Odyssey website. You can download those and do them along with us. Our lesson tonight, it may surprise you a little bit, talking about the mystery of the last day, is a prophecy subject. But I always like to begin with an amazing fact. You know, the world record for many years regarding the person who had stayed awake the longest under a measured experiment without sleep was Randy Gardner. He held the record for going, in 1963, he went for 11 days and 24 minutes without sleep. After several days in the experiment, Gardner displayed increasing cognitive dysfunction and problems with concentration. That happens to me after about, 10 hours of no sleep. Moodiness, memory, paranoia, hallucinations. His record since was broken multiple times. The last time, it was Robert McDonald. He went 18 days and 21 hours without sleeping. He did it all at Starbucks. No, I made that up. That's not true. But, since then, in 1997, Guinness World Records refused to accept any new attempts for health and safety reasons. For decades after his first experiments, Randy Gardner struggled with severe insomnia. It permanently damaged him. People need rest. Our lesson tonight is about rest and prophecy and how all of it ties together. Now, we're going to be talking about one of the commandments tonight, in particular the fourth commandment, dealing with the subject of the Sabbath. And you might be thinking, Pastor Doug, how in the world does that fit into a prophecy seminar? Follow me very carefully. If you read in Revelation chapter 13, it tells us that this beast power makes a law that whoever does not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Although that would be a problem for God's people, because the Bible is pretty clear in the Ten Commandments. It says in the second commandment, you shall not make unto you any graven images, the likeness of anything in the heaven above or the earth beneath or the water under the earth, and bow down yourself to them and serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Notice, love me and keep my commandments. There's a commandment that says don't worship images. You may remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar told everybody to bow down and worship the image that he made or be killed. Revelation is drawing from that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We will not break God's commandment, even if it's a government commandment. You look in Daniel chapter 6, the king of Persia, Darius, made a law that said you're not to pray to any god except the king for 30 days. Well, that's a problem for God's people, because the first commandment, who knows? Thou shalt not have other gods before me. Actually, the first commandment says, and the Lord God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not have other gods before me. Daniel said, I can't have another god before my God. and he went to the lion's den, and God delivered him. It was a government law, worldwide law, this empire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to the fiery furnace, and God delivered them. In the last days, the devil is going to do the same thing again. Have you read the book of Esther? There was a law made to exterminate all of God's people because Mordecai would not bow down and worship Haman because it broke the commandments of God. The devil is going to do the same thing. See, does everyone here know the devil wants you to sin? That's why he tempts us. What is sin? The transgression of God's law. But what the devil's going to do in the last days, he's going to be very sneaky. He is going to create a law, and it's going to be requiring people to break the law of God, but it's going to seem like they're obeying. And he's going to look through the Ten Commandments, and he's going to say, can I make a law that tells everybody to lie? That's going to be hard to sell. Everybody to murder? That won't work. What if I tell everybody, remember the Sabbath day, but don't do it on the seventh day. Do it a different day. Just change it a little bit. He's very clever. And a lot of people are going to go, what difference does it make? It's a little thing. So follow me, and I think you're going to understand why this is going to be an issue in prophecy in the last days. Question number one, we're going to our lesson. Did God make the Sabbath only for Israelites? What does the Bible say? He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for the Jew. That's not what it says. This is on the seventh day of creation. God made man in 6 days, on the sixth day, made the world in 6 days. Then after he made man, and the word here in Greek is anthropos, you've heard of anthropology, it's talking about humanity, not just one race of people. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for humans. How many here are related to Adam? Then you fit. The Sabbath was made for mankind, humanity, not man for the Sabbath. God did not make the Sabbath and then make man to serve the Sabbath. He made man and then made Sabbath to be a blessing to man. See how that works? And you read in Exodus 23, verse 12, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest. And he says, and your servant also, and the son of your female servant, and that your stranger may be, what's the word? Refreshed. Now, do only Jews need refreshment? Or did the Lord also include even animals in this commandment? Does God even care about creatures? So, do people need rest? Yeah, when the Lord said the Sabbath was made for man, he meant for the human race. People need rest. How many people are struggling with stress-related disease? Some of you out there struggling with stress. When did God establish the Sabbath? Answer, it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, thus the heavens and the earth, now remember, you read the blue answers with me, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested. Man is made in the image of God. We follow his example. He rested as an example for us. He rested on what day? The seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now I'm going to continue. It goes on to say, and God blessed the seventh day. You know, right here in the beginning of the Bible, a number is mentioned three times. Seven, seven, seven. First book of the Bible. Go to Revelation, the end of the Bible. There's another number mentioned three times. Six, six, six. Seven is the perfect number of God and worship of God. Six is the day that man was created. It's the number of man and man-made worship. And this is a battle for worship that you're going to see going on all through the Bible. The Sabbath was established right at the very beginning. And God blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it. What does that mean? Made it holy. Because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Question number three. Now, I know it seems like I'm going fast, but you'll see why. I got a lot I'm going to cover here. How has God demonstrated the importance of the holy Sabbath? He says in Exodus, now in your Bible, if you look in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. I'm going to grab my Bible real quick, and we're going to read this together. If you have your Bible, you'll not only find this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it's also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. You can find the Ten Commandments, and you'll find them in partial places, several places. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it is the longest of the Ten Commandments. It's the only commandment that begins with the word remember, and it is in the middle of God's law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Jews. That's what it says. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is what you call the fourth commandment. Now, when God writes something in stone, how important is it? I want you to think about what God did when he created the Sabbath commandment. Matter of fact, we're going to put it up here on the screen here just as a little visual so that you can all see this. God had the Ten Commandments. Were they written on paper? Silly putty? Or stone? And how many of you remember the story when Moses came down the mountain, they had made a golden image, God threw the Ten Commandments out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And if you're watching Charlton Heston, you want a little amazing fact? You know that old movie, The Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille? My mother was in that movie. It's a very small part. When I watched it with the kids, I'd say, there goes Grandma. But she was in the movie. And he said, if you will not live by the law, you will die by the law. And he throws the commandments down. It's true that he threw it down and broke it. You know what God said? Come back up. I'm going to give it to you again. He spoke it with his own voice. He wrote it with his own finger to indicate the permanence of it. And as I mentioned, it's the longest of the Ten Commandments. Now, it's amazing to me that I can go to almost any church in New York City, and I want to reiterate, there are good Christian people in many denominations. You all listening? I used to teach Sunday school in a Methodist church. I used to attend Pentecostal church, Church of God, Foursquare, Baptist. I've been in many different churches. John and I can tell you some interesting stories of churches that we've been in and visited, and there are good people in many different churches. I'm not here to condemn. Is that clear? I want to find out, what does the Bible say? I could go to virtually any church in town, and the pastor would say, well, preach what's on your heart. I could preach on marriage and not committing adultery, and people would squirm, but they'd say amen. Right? And I could preach on honoring your father and mother. Amen. I could preach on do not steal. Amen. Do not covet. You go through the Ten Commandments. Say, amen, amen. You preach on idolatry. Some people in some churches would be a little uncomfortable with that, because there's idols in some churches. But then I say, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And people say, Pastor Doug, you're putting these people under bondage. That is legalism. What happened? I was doing a seminar like this one time. I talked about this subject, and a pastor was in the audience, and he stood up and interrupted me. And I could tell he was rather agitated because his ears were red. And he said, Brother Doug, small town, he knew who I was. He said, you're putting these people under the bondage of works. I said, wait a second, pastor. I said, I'm telling them to keep the Sabbath. I'm encouraging them to rest. You're telling them don't keep the Sabbath. You're encouraging them to work. And he said, I said, do you think God wants us to keep the Ten Commandments? He said, no. And then some of his members were there, and they said, huh? And he said, well, yes. But he knew that would include the fourth commandment. He said, nine of them. That's what he said. I said, so you're telling me the one commandment that we're supposed to forget is the only commandment that begins with the word remember. Maybe God said remember because he knew there was a risk that we would forget that commandment. God's word is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. Jesus said, think not that I have come to destroy the law. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, whosoever therefore will break one of the least of these commandments, these are the words of Jesus, and teach men so, he will be spoken of as least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever will do and teach them will be great in the kingdom of heaven. So why am I teaching it? Because Jesus told me to. You take that up with him. This is his law. Christ kept the law of God, and the devil's going to use this as a special test and attack in the last days. Now, just use common sense. Do people need rest today? Do you realize we are living at the time in the history of humanity where more people are dying from stress than all of history combined? The five top-selling medications are stress-related. Chronic stress is linked to the six leading causes of death, including heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, suicide, according to the American Psychological Association. And you know, things started changing back when Thomas Edison installed electric lights in New York City. People used to go to sleep when the sun went down. I mean, they might have the kerosene lamp, but you know, that was expensive. And now, because of artificial light, people are up all the time and they don't rest, and they work and they work, and now we got our work devices in front of us all the time. And it is a stressed out world. God said, if we would take time every week and rest during the time he's blessed, it would lengthen your life. Let me tell you something in case you didn't know this. How many of you have heard of something called the Blue Zone? With your hands. National Geographic did a study, and they are not a religious organization. National Geographic did a study, and there have been several programs on it. Individuals went around the world. They studied. There were pockets of people around the world that lived longer. It was very common for them to live to be over 100 years of age. Places like Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia in the Mediterranean. And you know what the third place was? Loma Linda, California, and they thought, why Loma Linda, California? They said, oh, they got a Seventh-day Adventist hospital there, and it's a Seventh-day Adventist community, and the people are keeping the Sabbath, and they are often living to over 100 years of age because they rest every week, not to mention a lot of them are vegetarians. But the Sabbath had a lot to do with their longevity. If Jesus said, come unto me, Matthew 11, and I'll give you what? Rest. Jesus wants us to experience that rest. And the devil is robbing the culture of that peace and rest. By the way, when Moses came and he told the Pharaoh, let my people go. Before Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, it says he met Moses, came. He met with the elders. You find this in Exodus chapter 5, I believe. He met with the elders of Israel. He says, the Lord Jehovah has met with us and told us he's going to deliver us, but we need to return to God. We need to recommit ourselves. We're wandering from the commandments of God. The Israelites are worshiping Egyptian idols, and we're forgetting to rest on the Sabbath day. That's why when Moses goes to the Pharaoh, Pharaoh said to Moses, I've heard what you're up to. You are making the people to rest. You know what the word is in Hebrew? Moses says, you are causing the people to Shabbat. That's what it says. He said, I'm not going to let you rest. In fact, I'm going to stop giving you straw for your bricks. You're going to have to gather your own straw, and I'm going to increase your workload. Moses is Christ. He says, let my people go. The Pharaoh is the devil. He says, work, work, work. The devil wants us to be so busy with the cares of this life, even good things. You can work too much. Jesus said, beware lest your heart be overcharged with eating and drinking and the cares of this life so that the second coming overtakes you unaware. The devil doesn't want us to rest. Do you know what it says about those who have the mark of the beast? They have no rest. This is a Bible prophecy subject, friends. Can you see that? Amen. On what two precious things does God say the Sabbath is a sign? By the way, that was question number 4. Answer Exodus 31:17. Yet the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made. What's it say? The Lord made the heavens and the earth. Now, did he just do that for the Jewish people, or is that a sign for all people that believe the word of God that he is the creator? Would you agree with me that a lot of people in the world no longer believe that God created? They think we've all evolved from lower forms of life. I used to believe that. Now I can't believe I used to believe that. Because life is so complex, the idea that the complexity of life happened by accident is really absurd. You don't get organization and design and interworking system. Did you know that they've studied one cell of a human being? One single cell of a human being now with an electron microscope, and they've come to the conclusion there are more machines and more activity and more interworking systems in a single cell of life than, this is the illustration, I did not invent it. The doctors are saying there is more activity in a single cell of life than New York City at rush hour. How could that ever happen by accident? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every Sabbath day, we are remembering that we are a creation of God, made in the image of God. And you know, one reason I think that so many young people are misbehaving and destroying themselves, when we started teaching that we all evolved from monkeys, the suicide rate shot up. They lost the purpose of life. When you tell young people there's a God, he's got a purpose for you, you are created in his image, that's a whole different destiny for young people. So God says one reason for the Sabbath is we remember he created us. Amen? It's a miracle. It's a marvel. Every Sabbath day, we remind ourselves that he is our creator. And you know what else that means? He's the boss. He is the creator. We are the creation. He makes the rules. We follow. What else does the Bible say the Sabbath is a sign of? Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign. Now, I want to stop before I even finish this. You know, in Revelation, what do people get in the forehead? Mark, what's it called? Some are saying mark, some are saying seal. Everybody thinks about the mark of the beast in the last days in the forehead. That's true. There is a mark of the beast in the hand or in the forehead. But they forget that the righteous also get something in the forehead. It's the seal of God. And that word is a sign. God places a sign. Look what it says here. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them that they might know. The Bible says eternal life is knowing Jesus. That they might know that I am the one who, what? I sanctify them. That means I make them holy. Now think about this, friends. If I were to ask you right now, where on the planet is the Holy Land? What would you say? Israel. Israel, sure, right answer. That's what most people would say, right? Muslims, Jews, Christians, we call it the Holy Land. If I were to say, where in the Holy Land, what do you call the holy city?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, right answer. It's a little harder, stay with me. If I were to say, where in Jerusalem is the holy mount? What's it called? Mount Moriah, sometimes called Mount Zion. And what is on the holy mount? The holy
temple.
And in the holy temple, when you first enter the first apartment, it's called the what? The holy place. And then after you leave the holy place, you go into the inner sanctum. It is called the what? The Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And why is it called the most holy place? There's only one thing in the room. The Holy Ark of the Covenant, right? And what is in the Holy Ark of the Covenant? The holy law of God written by a holy God with his finger. And in the holy law, you find the word holy one time. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know why? Because God is love. How do you experience love without time? You show me a couple that's having problems in their relationship and someone's going to say, we don't spend any time together. And they're not talking about being in the same house. Karen will sometimes say to me, I know you've never had these conversations in your family. She'll say, Doug, we're not spending time together. I'll say, I was home all day yesterday. She says, yeah, you were in your office. I'll say, yeah, but I texted you. She says, no. What about our date night, you know? What about quality time? You ever heard that? God says, I love you. I want to walk and talk with you in the garden. God came looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. They ran from God because they were naked and they sinned. God didn't run from us. He wants holy time with us. The devil does not want us to have holy time with God, because then you'll know him, then you'll love him, then you'll serve him. So he attacks this commandment. Because if you destroy the time, you destroy the relationship. Does that make sense? Amen. That's why it is very important to God and to his people. And in the last days, God's people are going to return to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We're going to all come back to Bible religion. Amen? Amen? The Bible says it's a sign, it's a seal, a mark of his authority. Number five, the bottom line is, if you are a Christian, you follow who? You follow Christ. What day did Jesus keep holy? It says he came to Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the, when? The Sabbath day. What was Jesus' pattern, his custom? And he stood up to read. He used to go to church and he read, and they knew him. Sometimes they'd have him do the scripture reading. When Christ began his ministry, he went to Nazareth. He went into the temple. He stood up to read the scriptures. He gives an example of it. He even read from the prophecy. So even Jesus did taught Bible prophecy. So Jesus, he went to church every Sabbath. By the way, someone is going to write down a question, but I'll preempt it right now, and you can still ask. I thought Jesus came to do away with the Sabbath. Didn't he say that it doesn't matter anymore because he healed people on the Sabbath day? You know, Jesus never ever said the Sabbath didn't matter. Jesus never had a dispute on whether or not the Sabbath should be kept. Every Sabbath dispute that Jesus had with the religious leaders was on how to keep it, not whether or not it should be kept. Because you realize the Ten Commandments are written by Christ. Did the Sabbath come before or after sin? Before sin. It wasn't part of the ceremonial law. It was part of God's perfect plan. Do only Jews need rest? Or does the human race needs a time of rest? And by the way, the Lord calls the Sabbath a holy convocation. Leviticus chapter 23. Convocation means convene, assembly. He wants us to come together and worship him because we need each other. Amen?
Amen?
What about the apostles? What was the practice of Paul and the apostles? So we found the example of Jesus. What about his followers? What did they do? Look, for instance, in Acts chapter 17, verse 2. Paul, as his custom was, this is his practice, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the scriptures. And someone's going to say, well, Paul just did that because he was trying to reach the Jews. Keep reading. He, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Greeks. And that means Jews and Gentiles. They use that word interchangeably there. And if you doubt that, then look at Acts chapter 13, verse 42. And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. The whole city came together. Let me give you another verse. In your Bible, if you look in Isaiah chapter 56, if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there very quickly. Isaiah chapter 56, I want to read something to you. This is a prophecy. And verse 6, and for the sons of the foreigner, these are non-Jews, who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, That might be some of you. To love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath from defiling it, who lays hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them miserable in my house of prayer. No. Is a Sabbath a burden or a blessing? Did God curse the day or bless the day? It says, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Anyone want joy?
Amen.
To the sons of the stranger. He's saying, anybody that wants to follow me, you keep my Sabbath, I'll make you joyful. They will come together in his house to worship him. House, Jesus said, my house should be called the house of prayer for all nations. Amen?
Amen.
Not just for one group of people. The Jews were called to announce this truth to the world, not keep it to themselves. Number 7, did Jesus intend for his people to be keeping the Sabbath day after he died for their sins? In Matthew 24, where Christ is talking about prophecies regarding his return, about a great time of trouble and persecution, he said, pray that your flight, he's not talking about on Delta or United, he's talking about fleeing for your life. Pray that your flight may not be in the winter, because there would be no food in the fields if you have to flee for your life, or on the Sabbath. Why would he tell his people to pray they would not have to flee for their lives on the Sabbath day? I don't know if you heard on the news tonight, just before I got here, as I was shaving and getting dressed, we took in the news for a few minutes, and Benjamin Netanyahu finished his address at the United Nations, and even though Shabbat is beginning, because it's a time of war, he did something he normally does not do. He traveled back home. Isn't that interesting? They don't do that. But, you know, in times of war, the Israelites will defend themselves on the Sabbath. Jesus says, you want to pray that you don't have to do it on the Sabbath and miss that blessing. When you're supposed to be resting, you're fretting. He knew God's people would be keeping it down near the end of time. Question number 8. Does the Bible teach that God's end-time people would also be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy? Look at the prophecy you find here in Revelation 12:17. The dragon, who's the dragon? We've learned he's the devil, was enraged with the woman. Now, a woman is a symbol for a church. In Revelation, you've got a good woman and a bad woman. Don't miss tomorrow morning. We're going to be talking about that. This is obviously a good woman because the devil doesn't like her. Does that make sense? The dragon is enraged with the woman, the bride of Christ, and he goes to make war with the rest of her offspring. Offspring means her seed at the end of time. What are the two identifying characteristics? Who do what? Who talk about, who think about, or who keep? Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Revelation chapter 14. Fear God and give glory to him. This three messages go to the world. If you read in Revelation 14, it tells us in verse 14, I beheld and I saw one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Who is that? Jesus is coming. Before Jesus comes, in verse 12, three prominent messages go to the world. It's pictured under these angels, these messages that are spreading. They're flying in heaven, meaning it's going around the world. And what do these messages say? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And do what? Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. Do you know what? That is a quote from the fourth commandment. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea. A message is going out in the world to return to the scriptures in the last days. Christ said, many sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must call. They will hear my voice. There will be one fold and one shepherd. Sincere people that love Jesus and his word out there are hearing the Holy Spirit even right now. Listen, Pastor Doug, it's hard to argue with this logic. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. God's law does not need changing. We need changing. Amen?
Amen.
He wants us to return. Jesus said, the man who hears my words and does them is like the wise man who builds on the rock. The Ten Commandments were written on the rock. And you know what? I'm not in trouble, because when I stand before the Lord and the Lord says, Doug, why did you teach people about the Sabbath day? I'll say, well, for one thing, Lord, you kept it. For another thing, you told me to. He said, whoever teaches even one of the least of these commandments will be great in the kingdom of heaven. And you wrote it with your finger and you spoke it with your voice. I didn't tell the studio I was going to do this. I often surprise them. Get an audience shot. You're going to be on camera, some of you. Now, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. Seventh day of the week is what day? Saturday. Sunday, the resurrection, first day of the week. Can you tell me where in the Bible there's a commandment to keep the first day holy? Now, I'm pretty open here. I mean, we're putting you on camera. If you got it, lift your hand. I'll call it out in front of everybody. There is no commandment. It's coming from traditions. All right. You can take them off the camera now because I know they're getting real nervous. I'm looking at their faces. They're like, some people that were taking a nap a minute ago, someone just woke them right up and they're just... Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that do what? Keep the commandment. That's Revelation 14. After the angel says, worship him who made. Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Or have the faith of Jesus. In this verse it says, blessed, here, last chapter in the Bible. Blessed are those who do his commandments that they might have a right to the tree of life and enter through the gates of the city. Do you think that God is saying... Well, not all of them. He's given us a 10% discount. You can take one of the 10 out. When God said 10 commandments, he meant 10 commandments. Amen? Amen. New covenant is those 10 commandments in our heart. Amen. And you know what's really interesting? If you go back 100 years, just read your own Christian history. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, they all believed in the Sabbath day. They just believed you kept it on another day. They were very careful. They did not go shopping. They had special Sunday clothes. There were things they could not do. How many of you know that? All you've got to do is read the writings. Read what Charles Spurgeon says about Sabbath keepings. Read what Moody says, great preacher. Read what Billy Graham used to say, or Billy Sunday. What you're hearing from me is nothing new. It just has been forgotten by much of the church because we're preoccupied with doing our own ways and our own pleasure and the cares of life. Isn't that the truth? And we're suffering the consequences with our stress from that. Number 9. Will all of the saved who are in heaven keep the Sabbath? All right, now we talked about, we know Moses. We know Adam in the Garden of Eden kept the Sabbath. Some people say, well, no, Pastor Doug, they did not keep the Sabbath until the Ten Commandments. Yes, God talked about it, but there's no example of anyone keeping the Sabbath before Exodus 20. Wrong. Look at Exodus 16. When God rained the manna down from heaven, you know what he said? You're going to get it 6 days a week. You get twice as much on Friday because I'm not going to give you any on the Sabbath because I don't want you out gathering. Gather, cook twice as much Friday so you can rest on Sabbath. And when some of the people went out Sabbath looking for manna, God said to Moses, how long will you cease to keep my commandments? He called it a commandment even before he wrote the Ten Commandments. Don't fall for it. I hear pastors say some stuff that is just foolishness. They say God didn't have the Ten Commandments before Exodus 20. When Joseph, who lived long before Moses, told Potiphar's wife, I am not going to commit adultery because how can I sin against God? Did Joseph know adultery was a sin? When God told Cain, that's going pretty far back, Cain and Abel, sin lies at your door because you want to murder your brother. Was murder a sin back in the beginning? Amen. The Sabbath goes all the way back to creation, friends. So don't fall for these things. I hear people say just ridiculous things trying to get rid of one of God's commandments. Why? Will we keep it in heaven? Moses kept it. Jesus kept it. The apostles kept it. What about in heaven? Isaiah 66, verse 22 and verse 23, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make will remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, that means from month to month, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh, does it say all Jews there? all flesh will come and worship before me. Now here's a question. If they kept it back in the Old Testament and they kept it in the New Testament and we're going to keep it in heaven, and who do you think the preacher is going to be in heaven? Will anybody sleep during the sermon? No. Then does it make sense maybe God's people should still be coming together to worship before the Lord on His holy day now? Amen. Bible Christians, yes. Can we be certain the present seventh day of the week, Saturday, is the same Sabbath, same seventh day that Jesus kept? Now this always kind of cracks me up because people never have a problem figuring out what the days are until they learn the Sabbath truth. People never had a problem knowing what day was Sunday until they learned the Sabbath truth. They say, well, we're not sure. Maybe Sunday is the Sabbath day, and it's the seventh day. The Bible's very clear about that. Jesus rose the first day of the week. And it tells you that even right in the dictionary. And they say, well, haven't there been changes in the calendar? There have been changes in the calendar. We change from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. No change to the calendar ever affects the weekly cycle. It is a mind myth because we see the days of the week on the calendar. We think one affects the other. It doesn't work that way. Your birthday falls on a different day of the week every year. They're two complete different, separate, distinct cycles of time. When they change from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and that was not a bad thing, they needed to make an adjustment for leap year because they kept getting off a quarter day every year and the seasons were out of sync. So what they did is they took Thursday, October 4th, 1582, and they said, tomorrow is going to be the 15th. They added 10 days. But it's going to be Friday. Thursday was followed by Friday, the way it always is. There has been no change in the calendar as far back as anyone can measure history that has in any way affected the continuity of the weekly cycle. The greatest proof for that is you've got 16 million Jews around the world, and you might convince me that some of them got stranded on a deserted island and lost track of time, but for the whole nation to forget. And then you've got Muslims, Friday is their holy day, and there are 1.7 billion of them. They have not forgotten what the days of the week are. And then you've got Christians who every Easter celebrate the resurrection, and once a week they celebrate the resurrection on the first day of the week. They have no problem knowing what day that was, Sunday. We know what day the seventh day is. Let's look at what the Bible says. That day was the preparation, Friday. They call that the preparation day. The Sabbath drew near. This is the crucifixion of Christ. They returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. By the way, Luke 23, verse 54. And they did what? They rested on the Sabbath. These are the apostles, according to the Jewish law. No, according to the commandment. Do you know Luke was written by a Gentile? What a good time for him to say the old Jewish law. He says it's the self-evident commandment. Now on the, what day? First day. They came to the tomb, and of course, praise God, Jesus rose. Now, it's interesting. One of the reasons, and I remember, forgive me if I'm a little strong with this, because when I first learned this, it shook me up. And I hope I'm presenting this with the right measure of grace. And I want to say right here, I know there are going to be millions of Christians from all different backgrounds that will be in heaven that did not know this. Are you listening? Amen. Isn't that right? Sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. Do you know there will be people in heaven that had too many wives? Will King David be in heaven? And Solomon? What about Jacob? He had four wives at one time. Sounds like a reality program. And he had a lot of trouble too, if you ever read the story. They did not know the times of this ignorance. God says, he winked at. But if Pastor Doug gets another wife, will I go to heaven? No. Not if Karen's still alive, I won't, no. And she will go to jail for murder. No, because sin is knowing to do good and not doing it, right? Amen. But don't miss this, friends. If Jesus ever taught the disciples the Sabbath didn't really matter, or I've come to do away with the Sabbath, then why was it that when he was crucified and they took his body off the cross and it was Friday afternoon and the sun is going down and they're going, we don't have time before the Sabbath to finish embalming his body. Jesus would not want us to do that. Let's put the body in the tomb. We'll put the stone in place. We'll come back Sunday. We'll finish. How important was this act of love to the apostles, and yet they would not even finish embalming his body on the Sabbath day. And are you aware that Jesus even kept the Sabbath in his death? On Friday afternoon, he said, "It is finished." And then he went to sleep, and he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath, and he rose Sunday morning to continue his work as our high priest in heaven, where he is now. God has not changed. It still matters. And the Lord wants this truth to go to his people. And if you don't believe Pastor Doug, believe Webster's Dictionary. Saturday, noun, the seventh day of the week. It'll say Sunday, noun, the first day of the week. And if you look at a normal calendar, you'll see that. Number 11, does God allow anyone to change his holy day? The Bible says, Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Do you know that the prophet Ezekiel said, in the last days, the priests have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath? That's still true today in some circles. Number 12, when does the Sabbath begin and when does it end? The Bible says, from even unto even, you will celebrate your Sabbath. And again, you look in Mark chapter 1, verse 32, and at even when the sun had set, the people wanted to bring their sick to Jesus to heal. He would have healed them on the Sabbath. He had no problem with that. It's okay. You know, did doctors stop healing people on the Sabbath? Of course not. There are certain required, necessary jobs that must be done on the Sabbath day where you're relieving human suffering. Right? I've driven down the road on the Sabbath day and I've seen someone that their battery died. I'll stop and jump their car. The Bible calls that the ox in the ditch, right? And so there's some things that are obviously necessary, but our regular work, did you ever see Jesus in the carpenter shop on the Sabbath day? No. He taught, he preached, he healed on the Sabbath day, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it begins sundown. The idea of the day's beginning and ending at midnight, that's Roman timing. And Bible times, you know, they didn't even have these devices to keep time like that. The days begin and end with sundown. Someone's going to write in a question, how do they keep the Sabbath on the space shuttle? Write it down, come tomorrow, and I'll answer. Number 13. What day is the Lord's Day of Revelation 1? Now, some people say, well, Pastor Doug, you guys keep the Sabbath day, but we keep the Lord's day. And they say, that's the resurrection day. Does the Bible say that? No. When John writes in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 7, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What's he talking about? John was a prisoner there by the Romans. They had mines on the Isle of Patmos where they would force the prisoners to work. But John said, I'm not working on the Sabbath. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God came to him. The vision of Revelation may have come to John on the Sabbath day. Let's find out, what does the Bible say the Lord's day is? Exodus 20, verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Jews? The Lord. Look again in Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, you know, when you disrespect something, you wipe your feet on it. It says, if you turn away your foot, it means you're going your own direction with your foot. You're not doing God's will. You're walking your own walk. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Sabbath is not a day for worldly entertainment and shopping. And it's a holy day. It's a time for fellowship. It's a time for witnessing. It's a time for study, time for rest. Amen. Again, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the what? the Sabbath. So what day does the Bible say is the Lord's day? Sabbath day. You know, one reason Pastor Doug became convinced is when I first learned these things, you'd think I would know better because my mother's Jewish. My grandparents are Jewish. And as I'm reading the Bible and I'm accepting Jesus and I'm going to church on Sunday, I'm going, something's not matching here. So I'd go to the pastor, I'd say, Pastor, why do we go to church on Sunday? One of them would say, well, Doug, Jesus rose on the first day of the week and it is the new Sabbath for Christians. I said, well, that's beautiful. I said, now where's the scripture for that? He said, well, we don't have a scripture, but we've got a long-standing tradition. And then I read where Jesus said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God to observe your tradition. So I went to another pastor and I said, Pastor, why do we go to church on Sunday? He said, well, Doug, we're no longer under the law now. We're under grace. We don't need to keep the Jewish Sabbath. I said, yeah, but why Sunday? Well, he said, well, because they took a collection on Sunday in, you read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I said, well, they took a collection several days of the week. Did that make it? Well, but they also had a communion service. They broke bread. I said, is there a command? I said, I got a command for the seventh day. And I read where it says they broke bread from house to house daily. What day of the week did Jesus die? Friday. Is it a new Sabbath? No. When was the Lord's Supper? Thursday night? Is that a new Sabbath? Was there something wrong with the seventh day where God had to change it? He made a mistake? Then I went to another pastor. They all had different answers. They all disagreed with each other. I went to another pastor. I said, why do we go to church on the first day and not the seventh? He said, ah, Pastor Doug, you read in the book of Joshua, Joshua prayed, sun stood still, Saturday turned into Sunday. I said, well, that's creative, but why did they still keep it for the seventh day for another 1,000 years? I asked 11 pastors and I got 12 different answers. I said, something's wrong. They don't even agree with each other. There's information. You can look at a website. You might make a note of this, sabbathtruth.com. It's the number one website on this subject, sabbathtruth.com. Don't go to Black Sabbath. That's something else. sabbathtruth.com. You will see a list of Christian theologians that freely admit there is no scripture in the Bible that orders us to keep the first day as a Sabbath, that it is purely tradition. Number 14, what precious blessing comes through keeping the Sabbath commandment? Is God wanting us to be cursed or is he wanting us to be blessed? Answer, my presence will go with you and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. You can read again where Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary, you labor, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hebrews chapter 3, this is in the New Testament. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 4. It says, for we who believed do enter that rest. When God saved the children of Israel for their slavery and their bondage and their labor in Egypt, he says, I'm bringing you to a land of milk and honey and you will enter my rest. Heaven is compared to God's rest. Jesus entering Christ is compared to rest. Someone's going to say, well, Pastor Doug, we don't need to keep the letter of the law anymore. We just keep the spirit of the law. Have you heard that one? All right, the letter of the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? 10 commandments. Spirit of the law says, do not think it in your mind. If I say, well, I'm not going to think it in my mind, but I'm literally going to commit adultery, is that okay? Or does God want us to keep the letter and the spirit? The letter of the law says, don't murder. The spirit of the law says, do not be angry with your brother without a cause or you're guilty of murder. If I say, oh Lord, I'm going to murder this person, but I won't think it in my heart, I'll keep the spirit but not the letter. Or does God want us to keep the spirit and the letter? You look at any commandment, Jesus said it's not just the action, it's the attitude, but he wants us to have, if you've got the attitude, you will keep the action. And so yes, he wants us to keep the literal Sabbath, but he wants us to enjoy the rest in Christ as well, that it's a symbol of. He wants us to keep both. You can't keep the spirit if you're ignoring the letter. The letter is elementary. It's the beginning. That's the action. Jesus said it goes even beyond that. It's an attitude of resting in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants to bless you, friends, for doing that. Now, I know some of you have heard some new things tonight, and it may have stirred you. A lot of subjects we're going to talk about in prophecy here, and you're going to find out how this teaching, this subject that we've talked about, is going to weave into last day prophecy. Remember, there's going to be a battle in the last days about worship. Worshiping God, the seal of God, worshiping the beast, the mark of the beast. Adam and Eve had two boys. They both claimed to worship the same God. One killed the other because of the way he worshiped. Abel said, I'm going to worship God's way. God's people in the last days are going to worship God's way, God's day. We're going to return to the scriptures. There's going to be a revival around the world, and God's going to pour out his spirit, but it means there's a struggle. Some of you are saying, Pastor Doug, I don't know how I'm going to make changes in my life. I want that rest. I want that peace. Let me make you a promise. God is not going to give you any truth without enabling you to work it out.
Amen.
He will show you how, because he wants you to be blessed. Don't worry about tomorrow and how you're going to do it. Make a decision today and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I don't know how you're going to move the mountains. I don't know how you're going to part the ocean, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you. How many of you want to have that experience? How many of you want the rest that Jesus offers and that peace that he promises? Because Jesus has given us the Sabbath as a sign of his power to create and sanctify us. Would you like to begin receiving those blessings involved in that holy day? How appropriate. We're in that sacred hour right now. And I'm trusting that God is blessing you right now, at least this part of the world. We know we're broadcasting to other time zones right now. I want to pray for you. Can I pray right now? Father in heaven, bless these people. Give them that rest. Help them to experience that holy sanctification and prepare their hearts for the important things you have for their lives and your will, Lord. Be with them now, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. When is our next meeting?
Tomorrow,
not just tomorrow night, but tomorrow morning. And there'll even be a special program we're going to have at 5 o'clock. If you want to hear my personal testimony, we'll transition then into the evening meeting. Going to be talking about the spirits of Armageddon. Tomorrow morning, a woman, a child, and a dragon. Don't miss it. God bless you, friends. Thank you. You have a good evening and a safe trip home.